Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
on the couch. Did you get your news from
drama?
Together you got
smooth
drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we got an extra special show for you. Well, every show is special, but we got a show for you. We got Cherry Johnson. She formerly of Punky Brewster, Family Matters, and now she's soon to be a best-selling author. And I'm looking to be in the next movie. I'm just putting it out there. Anyway, Cherry Johnson will be here a little bit later on. And if you got any questions for her, comments, you can give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, the number is 646-929-2037. Or if, like I said, you're a little too shy to call, you can email at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can email your comments, questions, dick@smoothdrama.com. Also, if you're one of our chat participants, you can hit us up in the Smooth Drama TV chat room or our Blog Talk chat room. And, you know me, I answer all questions, even if they're dirty. I like dirty questions. And last but not least, because I want to stalk you, and I want you to stalk me, you know, as I say, we had that symbiotic stalking relationship. You can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411, and you can keep up with what we got happening here at Smooth Drama. Once again, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. We'll holler back and let you know what's going on. Black Steel, what's happening with you, baby?
Hey, what's up, Dick Hugger?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, I'm living. I'm maintaining. You know, things are good.
Yeah, are they as good as Venus Williams' dress this weekend, though?
Not that good, but good.
Well, it was funny. They made a big deal out of it. They're like, well, her dress keeps riding up. It's like, well, when has a dress not ridden up when watching tennis? I mean, I watch women's tennis because it's a great visual sport.
Exactly. And, you know, they're making a big deal out of it, but remember the dress that she had on the first day of the French Open? You know, they made a big deal about that. But, you know, in France, hey, they was enjoying it. So, you know, they was, you know, over here in the States, we make a big deal. But over there, it's more or less like, wow, that's cool.
Well, you know what? I think it's sort of like when her sister had on the cat suit. I just think that here in America, and that was at the U.S. Open, by the way, here in America, they just don't like big ass.
Yeah.
It's just, they don't like big ass on TV. Personally, they may look at me like, damn. But it's just something, somebody's ass is just too succulent for them. They can't take it.
Yeah, well, that's
I don't
true.
Know.
You know, that's America for you, man. That's the country we live in.
Yeah.
Personally, I like it.
Yeah, I was like, I looked at it like, okay, did I miss something? I mean, that's the tennis circuit. Anybody not wearing a mini skirt in tennis? I have yet to see the tights.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so I'm not getting it. I'm not feeling it, not understanding it. And I guess it's not for me to understand.
Now, we don't make the rules.
Yeah, well, you know what they need? They actually need us, man. They need us announcing tennis, at least when the Venus sisters are plan. That way, if they got on the cat suit or they got the riding up dress, it won't be a big deal. We'll just talk about the action.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shook. I mean, it was like John McEnroe, if you look to the audience, he was shook. Like, wow, her dress is right. It's like, dude, I mean, you ain't never seen ass before? I mean, it wasn't like she was naked in a thong. She had on like, some shorts underneath. It's like, what?
No, what it was, McEnroe wanted to go down there and smack that ass. That's what it was.
Yeah, Venus would beat him up. She would beat his ass.
Yo, he was sizing it up like, yo, can I get a hit?
Yeah, I know. Now, I got to touch on this. Anybody who's a long-time listener knows that I don't care too much for the state of Florida. You know, I've talked about the dumb shit that goes on in Florida. I've talked about the fact that they got giant snakes. And then I saw a show this weekend where they now have king cobras loose in Florida. Another reason for me not to go down there. Then I'm reading that down in Florida, they are circulating a 170-page child molestation instruction manual.
Okay, what was that before?
They said, and the thing is, the sheriff's sexual offender surveillance squad, they've known about this shit for like 6 months now. Now, they said that they've been emailing it back and forth. I'm just like, who had it's choking me up. I don't get it. It's like you had the time to write up a 170-page instruction manual on how to molest children in Florida.
Okay, my thing
passing
is
it around like it's how you do it, dog.
Who the fuck are they emailing this to?
I'm like, look, I don't get it. If they've known about this shit for 6 months, I'm like, y'all haven't traced the email address and just went bum rushed and put a cap in their ass?
Yeah,
because that's somebody that needs a cap in their ass.
Because you can trace when somebody's illegally downloading music and pirating DVDs off the internet, but you can't trace somebody, you know, sending this manual around and stuff like that. Come on,
right.
Man.
Exactly. Yeah, they know exactly who you are when you downloading the fucking song. You know how many times we've seen the people who getting sued, like the one woman got sued for 180 something thousand for downloading some damn songs. But
yeah.
This person who created it used the alias, called himself the Mule. And then I read the article, and the deputies believe, and this is their quote, they believe that whoever is responsible may have committed crimes against children. I'm like, really? You came to that conclusion?
Yeah, all by yourself, right?
Right. Hey, you know that's Florida education.
Yeah, get that science degree.
If I get that in the mail, I'm calling somebody, and I expect somebody to get arrested. I expect to see that shit the next day. I mean, for you to know about this shit for 6 months? 6 months. Mm.
Yeah. And for 6 months, you ain't trying to look for anybody that got it? They stupid. They backwards.
Well, another reason why we ain't never going to Florida.
Yeah, they put a new meaning to the word Bama.
Right. Now, speaking of six, now you heard about Ben Roethlisberger got his suspension cut from 6 to 4 games, right?
Yeah, I heard it.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the funny thing to me is how in the hell is he getting his thing cut for, and I mean, we know that, yeah, allegedly he did it, and allegedly the tape disappeared magically, and they said, well, he's had good behavior. I'm like, really? Has he? I mean, he hasn't trapped no women in the club and beat on them. And this is like the second or third time he's done it. This ain't like no isolated incident. And I go back to Michael Vick, who his boys killed some dogs. Not Michael Vick. His boys did it, and he went to jail for like, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, like, was it 18 months?
Yeah. And Ben Roethlisberger just smacking women around, no biggie. And he does no time. And he gets his shit knocked down for good behavior. Michael Vick, homies did it. Nobody said Michael Vick was hanging up dogs and shooting dogs. His homies did it. And he got a year and a half. Well, Robert's murder, smacking women around, he got 4 games.
Yeah.
Cut down. Now, I'm going to come to this conclusion. I know people love their dogs, and I feel y'all, you love your pets, whatnot, but when has it come to the point? I know they say a dog is man's best friend. I've never believed that shit and never will. When did it come down to the point where dogs are more important than females? Just a thought. I just wanted to put that out there real quick. Need some love in the air. Love for humans. Y'all should love humans. Humans are worth loving. On that note.
Exactly.
We gonna go
and we love women.
Yes, we love women more than we love dogs. I'm saying on Smooth Drama we love women more than we love dogs.
Yes, we do.
And on that note, we gonna take a song break here. Speaking of love, we gonna go old school with it. I'm gonna go some Tupac, Unconditional Love.
Y'all want Unconditional Love. Talking about the stuff that don't wear off, it don't fade. Now it lasts for all these crazy days, these crazy nights. Whether you wrong or you right, I'm gonna still love you, still feel you, still there for you, no matter what. Listen to my truest thoughts, my truest feelings. All my peers doing years beyond drug dealing. How many caskets can we witness before we see it's hard to live this life without God? So we must ask forgiveness. As Mama Rye got the urge to die, witness the tears falling free from my eyes before she could reply. But we were born without a silver spoon. My broken down TV show cartoons in my living room. One day I hope to make it a player in this game. Mama, don't cry, long as we try, maybe things change. Perhaps it's just a fantasy, a life where we don't need no welfare with our own family. Maybe it's me that caused it, the fighting and the hurting in my own crime, cause I didn't want to be a burden. Watch mama open up her arms to hug me, and I ain't worried about a damn thing. With unconditional love, big game, visions in the eyes to see. No things change, but the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dawn, so you will always be in my heart. Unconditional love, the lessons in your eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dawn, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, just got the message you've been calling all week. Been out here hustling on these streets, they had a chance to speak. But you know, with you and me, it's all G. We could never be enemies, cause you've been such a good friend to me. Where would I be without my dogs? No wonder why when times get hard, cause it ain't easy being who we are. Driven by my ambitions, desire higher positions, so I proceed to make deep eternally. And my mission is to be more than just a rap musician, the elevation of today's generation. If I could make them listen, prison ain't what we need. No longer stuck in greed, time to plan, strategize. My family doubted me. We were ain't something out of nothing. pleasure in the suffering neighborhood will be good. They can cut out all the buses, the liquor and the weed, the cussing, send the love out to my block. The struggle never stops in this game. Congratulations in the eyes to see, no fake shame. The future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark. So you will always be in my heart with unconditional love. The lessons in your eyes to see, no fake shame. The future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark. Same eyes, something inside. Please let me die, these are strange times. How come I never made it? Maybe it's the way I played it in my heart. I know one day I'm gonna be a star. My hopes and all my wishes, so many vivid pictures, and all the currency I'll never even get to see. This fast life soon shatters, cause after all the lights and screens, nothing but my dreams matter. Hoping for better days, maybe a peaceful night. Baby, don't cry, cause everything gon' be alright. Just lay your head on my shoulder.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, and my special co-host, because he co-hosts all the time, my man, Black Steel.
I'm in the house.
Yeah. Now we're about to get our guest on, Ms. Johnson, so we can let the interrogation begin. After interrogating her.
Hey.
Hey, Miss Johnson, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Oh, we good. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Thank you so much. I'm over here just finishing chewing. I'm sorry I had some plum cobbler in my mouth.
Oh, it's all good. You save me some?
You get it some in the kitchen.
All right. All right. I'll be there. I'm hungry. Now,
there's some food in there too, boo.
Hey, all right. That's what I'm talking about.
Come on, there's some macaroni and cheese and some collard greens and some fried chicken and some cornbread in there and then some plum cobbler.
All
I
right.
Got the Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream in the freezer waiting for you.
Okay, show's over.
I'm in the car right now.
Come swing by and pick me up, homie.
I got you. Hey,
now,
by the time we get there, we're going to be hungry anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's true. It's a little bit of a drive.
Hey, but all good drives are worth it. You know, long field trip. It's always what's there at the end.
Y'all welcome. You definitely welcome. Come on in, wash your hands, and make you a plate.
All right. Now, I got to ask you, you know, you're a child. You're a former child star, and it seems like you done grown up and you humble, and you ain't grown up to be like Paris Hilton. How you do that?
I wasn't raised by rich white people.
Oh.
I mean, well, my uncle, let me rephrase that. My uncle is a rich white man, but he was married to a black woman. I think things are different when you got black parents versus, you know, rich white parents.
I can't argue. I've never had a white parent.
Yeah, like, you know, my mom and my uncle, even my uncle, but they weren't giving me, you know, alcohol to drink and getting the baby drunk at a Christmas party and thinking it was cute. And I don't have a black card with my daddy's name on it that says that I can do whatever I want. And when I bump my head and fall, you know, somebody always gets me out of trouble. I got my ass whooped. Oh, am I allowed to say ass?
Yes, you can say ass. All that shit's available.
Yes. My mom wasn't having it, you know, and I wasn't treated special or different because I was on TV. I was my mother's daughter first.
Right.
I'm still my mother's daughter. She would cuss me out in a minute, and she would beat me.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I look at it like how you turned out, because when I looked you up, I was looking for the sex tape video.
Oh, well, that might have came up. It's not true, but I read that about myself 2 months ago, thanks to Media Outtake.
Oh, that you had a sex video out there?
Yes, they said I had a sex tape. They actually took stills of my film, I Do, I Did, my sex scene in the jacuzzi, and posted it.
Oh, what film is this?
It's called I Do, I Did. It's the first film that I ever wrote, produced, and starred in myself. It'll be on BET September 11th at 8 p.m. It's also out on DVD.
And hold on, you have a sex scene, and it's on BET, so it's like Cinemax.
Oh, well, I don't think it's as bad as Cinemax. But I don't know. You have to watch it. You be the judge, and then you tell me how you feel.
Okay.
I've seen the scene, and it's cool. It's cool for TV. It got a little hot. You know, I had to pop my collar, but it was cool.
I think there's another stunt that I pull on camera in that film, and I actually think that stunt was way sexier than the sex scene, but that's just my personal opinion.
I'm happy with you as a grown up. You know, I saw your book cover and I almost got pregnant.
hey, check it out, Sherry. Hey, I got that. Hey, I got it. I did on DVR, so I'm gonna go back and watch it, and then I'm gonna see what scene you're talking about. And then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, you tell me what's hotter, me in front of the refrigerator or me in the jacuzzi?
Okay.
I'm going with jacuzzi.
You have the jacuzzi?
I mean, I'm nothing against refrigerators, but I'm always down with the jacuzzi because I'm just thinking of you wet in the jacuzzi or outside getting out the jacuzzi. Ask me, that's where I'm at. I don't know about anybody else, but that's...
You got to watch it. Definitely.
I am going to Blockbuster tonight as soon as I get off.
You don't even have to leave, baby. It's also on iTunes and it's on Netflix. So you don't even have to go to Blockbuster.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. I'm set then. I know what I'm doing tonight. Now you've done all this work on the Parkers, and like you're doing your films, whatnot. But the thing I was actually more impressed with you than you doing volunteer teaching.
Oh yeah, I teach. I've been volunteering my time forever. I have a program. It's called Off the Streets that actually teaches kids after school. It teaches them dance and acting and life skills, and we also do their homework with them. And from that, I started thinking, wow, what a great thing it would do if I did some acting classes. So I actually did get paid at first. I worked at a place called the Hollywood Film and Acting Academy for a while, and I taught there, and I fell in love with my students, and I fell in love with what I was doing. But I kept leaving them because I was producing other projects. So I traveled for like a year, and I couldn't teach. Then I got another job at another school that's, like, really not worth mentioning. And then I thought about it really well, and I was like, you know what? Acting school is a hustle because the people who own them are getting rich off of them, and they're not really teaching kids the foundation of what they need to know. Like, yes, acting is a talent, but it's also a business, and nobody is out there really teaching the business of acting. And so I've started to volunteer my time and, you know, give people the dirty and the ugly part of entertainment and let them know that it's not all about the glitz and glamour. It's a business.
Well, I wanted to talk about you off the streets. Now, talk to us about the dirt, the bad, seedy parts of the acting profession.
Well, you know, I was just talking about it earlier. you have greedy producers and greedy casting people, and I'll put it out there, I don't care. There's a lady by the name of Robbie Reed, which they're going to kill me for saying this, but she used to hire people who she also managed, and that meant she got paid twice, once as a casting director and another as a manager. Because I've reported her to SAG, she's not allowed to do it anymore. Now her brother and her sister run the management team, and then she is casting, but it gives them two paychecks, but it also limits the actors that who will get a job. And because there's such a small percent of jobs coming into Black Hollywood, people like that really make it hard for people who are out here that have talent, because that does, that means that she can have auditions all day and see 120 people. But it's basically just to fill up the book. She's not really going to give them the job.
Right.
And there's another casting director who I worked for, and I didn't really understand, you know, the dirty part of Hollywood, because I was a kid. I came into it as a kid, and I was treated as I was a kid. You know, I was living my dream. I wasn't living my mom's dream, so I was really sheltered. I got my first job as an adult after Family Matters, and the casting director walked up to me and said, hey, I really fought for you to get this job. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy to be here. You know, and I was just, like, telling her thank you, and she was like, you need to give me a kickback.
What?
What's a kickback? I didn't know what it was. And she was like, you know, like a fee, like a percentage of your check for getting you this job. And I looked at her and I said, are you fucking crazy? Oh, excuse me. I know I wasn't.
Oh, no, fuck that shit. That shit is crazy.
But that's what came out of my mouth. And I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't know that this kind of stuff went on. And it saddens me that it goes on. I mean, I'm sure the white people do it too, but it saddens me that it goes on in the Black community and that people don't talk about it. And it, this business is very political and ugly and cutthroat. You know, actors are very expendable, and I've learned that as a producer. You get sick or a cold, you can't show up to work, no big deal. We just replace you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your schedule conflicts one day, you have something else to do because your mother's dying, no problem, we just replace you. And that's the reality. So when you see these people and you see them on drugs or they're cussing people out on camera, there's always another side to it. And don't believe what you read and don't believe what you see, because they chop it up and make it look good.
Oh, well, I've never been a big fan of Hollywood. I know Hollywood has never been a bastion of great opportunities for people like us. I actually, when I read one of your other interviews and you were talking about creating your own jobs, and I was like, that I've talked to a few people who talk about that. Now, expound on that. As you were talking about earlier, you did your own movie, wrote, produced, and starred in it.
Yeah, you know, I had to because of, I have that stigma, you know, child star. I can't outgrow it no matter what. You go on an audition and it's always like, oh, that's little Punky Brewster. She can't be a crackhead, or, oh, that's Waldo's girlfriend, dude. She can't have sex. You know, so there goes my job right there. And then the fact that one of my co-stars, Michelle, God bless her soul, she is deceased now. You would go on auditions and people would be like, oh, I thought you were dead.
What?
Like, I'm standing in front of you, dude. How am I dead? So I got tired of hearing all the stupidness. And I was like, you know what? There aren't a lot of jobs because there aren't a lot of jobs for Black women, because not a lot of Black women taking the power position and making jobs for themselves. Instead of waiting for somebody to hire me, I'm going to hire myself. And since then, I've been, for the past 7 years, I've been producing films. So you might not see me in front of the camera, but I'm definitely behind the camera.
And behind the camera, that's where you get a lot more of that money.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then I don't have to wait for people to come and ask me for things like kickbacks. And, you know, I don't have to deal with their politics.
Yeah, well, you gave her the appropriate response. Fuck that. You get none of mine. You know, the fact that she even said that means that she was a pimp in waiting.
Oh, well, they've been doing it. You know, after I said it, I had conversations with other actors, and they're like, yeah, we give them money all the time. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And because black people are so thirsty and so eager to work in Hollywood, they just kind of play the game. You know, I'll put it out there, too, and let you know that I told one of my friends the other day, I want an NAACP award. I don't know why I said it. It just came to my mind. He called me back, and he was like, dude, do you know to nominate you for an NAACP award, I got to pay $125, and then there's another registration fee of something, something, something. And I was like, that's like paying for my own award.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's what they talk about, the pay to play. I mean, it's the music industry is the same way. Nobody plays your music because you make good music. It's because you pay the DJ. I think it's kind
of
funny.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I told him, I said, man, I don't want no NAACP award. I changed my mind. If you're going to spend that money, do me a favor and give it to a place called Casa Pacifica, which is an orphanage that I raise money for every year. It's privately funded, and it gives children a safe place to live.
Well,
I
don't
give my money there.
I was going to ask you why you wanted the NAACP award anyway. I mean, do they even have offices in the hood?
I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea as I was walking through the hallway. I set goals for myself every year, you know, and sometimes I throw stuff out and it comes completely out of my ass, and it stinks. At five, I said I wanted to write a book, and my first book is out now. It took 30 years, but I have a book deal.
Better late than never.
Exactly. I think it's important to completely, like, always reinvent yourself and give yourself new goals, and that was a new goal that I thought that I wanted, and, yeah, I reevaluated it, not too into it anymore.
Well, no, I want to talk about your book. Tell us about Around the World Twice.
I have my first book out that is loosely based off of true events from my life. It's about a celebrity who is best friends with a housewife of four children, and it shows how their life basically parallels. People put people in different social classes because of what they do, you know, and they look at the Hollywood glitz and glamour, and they think that's what it really is. But it's a true testament of friendship. It's a testament of love, of triumph, and it teaches that just because you have something and the next man might not, you don't have to be a crab in a barrel. You can uplift your friend with you. You know, I personally, I don't want to be one of those people who, yeah, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. Yeah, I'll pay your phone bill because you need me to. Or, yeah, I'll take you to dinner. Every time we go to dinner, I don't want to have to pay. I want you to have to pay, too, because you got money in your pocket.
Right.
And if we like that, if we grew up together like that, and I get an opportunity, I'm going to pull you in on my opportunity. There's enough money for us all to go around. But for some reason, people like being on top of each other. They don't like being equal. And so it's a great story that I think everybody can relate to, not just women but also men, because it teaches that.
Oh.
And it's time for black people to let that crab in a barrel mentality go.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, that's actually one of the stories of me and Black Steel here. We go back 20 years, and I'm actually tired of paying for his dinners and lunches. And no.
Make them work. Make them work.
Man, like, no, hey, you was calling me at home talking about, hey, can you bring me a sandwich when you come in? So, hey.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So now he could turn around and tell you, bring him his sandwich.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't know about his sandwich-making skills, so we're going to hold off on the sandwich.
Yeah, well, you went down to Louisiana and got all that good food. You wasn't thinking about it, brother.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, now, I'm not trying to cut Cherry off here, but I know you're not talking. I've already called you out on the air behind some other shit you done where you was hanging out with superstars and all this other stuff, but you ain't called your homie. So we gonna go back to Cherry, because I'm ignoring my man Black here. Yeah, I'm ignoring my man here for a minute.
Yeah,
now,
we're here to talk to Cherry. So that's
yeah. Now, tell us about 75.
75 is now called Dead Tone. That was actually the first film that I co-executive produced. That was the first time I ever took to the producer seat. it's one of my favorite films in the world that I've ever done. It's a horror film. Soleil and I, the girl who played Punky on Punky Brewster, every weekend we had like the same routine. It was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know, whatever hot horror film was out, we were watching it. So that was been a dream and something I wanted to do forever too. And finally, it's out now. It's called Dead Zone. It's on DVD.
Okay. Now, you know, I rent this. I kind of hate horror flicks because they're...
Oh, no, you have to watch this one.
Kind of dull. They do the same
thing.
So
no,
nobody's going to fall in the movie and the titty going to fall out, right?
Let me tell you something. You might see some titties, right? But this is a horror film written by black people, first of all, so you
okay.
know you don't die first.
Oh, good. All right. I'm saying, so we die second to last, at least?
It's me. It's Brian Hooks. From Three Strikes and the Eve Show. He's hilarious. He actually is one of the directors of the film, along with Deion Taylor. It's Antoine Tanner. Antoine and I are working a lot together. Antoine plays my boyfriend, and then there's an actress by the name of Jude Tyler, Amy Garcia, Herman de Guerrera. It's a very eclectic cast, and it's a lot of fun. It's about seven kids who call themselves the crew. They go away to an exclusive Colorado mansion for spring break. Somebody calls the wrong person, and all hell breaks loose.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I like the concept so far.
I have a sex scene in it.
I'm there.
That's not enough to get you to watch, hey.
I'm there. Hey, sex scene. That was it.
Hey, and once again, what's the title again? It was changed from...
It's called... It was changed from 75. It is now called Dead Tone.
Dead Tone.
Because of legal issues, and thank you, bootleggers. They bootlegged our film before editing was finished with it. So they put out our project before it was final.
Well, that's not really a shock there. I've got the Wolverine movie. I had the movie like 6 months before it came out. It just mysteriously appeared on my hard drive.
It's crazy, though, because the film that they put out and the film that we put out, there's two different films.
Right.
They're not the same movie. So.
I would say that's kind of like Soul Plane. There was like two different versions of Soul Plane. And,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know if we necessarily want to talk about Soul Plane. I didn't like either version. I don't know.
That wasn't in the Soul Plane either, but Brian Hooks was in it. And
yes,
I thought it was interesting that Samora played his girlfriend, and her name was Cherry.
Never realized.
Uh-oh. Do we have a controversy? Do we have to put on some gloves? Can I referee?
Oh, no, it's okay. They had sex on the wing of the plane. Samora can do that any day. There's no controversy there.
All right. Sex on the wing of the plane.
Yeah, in Soul Plane. Y'all remember that part?
Not really. It wasn't one of those movies where I'm like, the scenes come to me.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I kind of have to say, I saw a lottery ticket this weekend and felt the same way, actually.
No, I wanted to see that. Okay, you just saved me.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, the intent was good, but the movie, it sat there.
What about Takers?
That was okay, but it was... predictable ending. It's about 20 minutes into the movie, you already knew how it was going to end.
Okay, well, I don't want to watch that either. I want to see Eat, Love, Pray with Julia Roberts. I went real girly on you.
No.
Look, Dan, what
I'm
is this? The music out. Critic? I mean, the movie critic hour? Okay.
hey.
You guys are just blowing it for everybody. Like, okay, we ain't going to the movies this weekend.
Maybe I don't like it and somebody else can like it. I hate a movie that when I watch it, if I'm 20 minutes in and I know how it's going to end, and I do that a lot, the people who know and love me hate watching movies with me because it's like 20 minutes in, oh, this is going to happen. And bam.
It happens.
It happens, and I'm like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm the same way. 20 minutes into the movie, I've already figured it out. I've analyzed everything and been like, you know, I'd be like, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then everybody'd be like, damn, how'd you know? Did you see this before? I'd be like, nah.
Okay. Well, will you guys do me a favor?
Yes, ma'am.
Will you watch I Do I Did September 11th at 8 o'clock on BET, or go cop it on DVD, on iTunes, from Amazon, from somewhere? Check us out, you know, watch Dead Tone, and then let me know how you felt about those movies. And be honest, no holds barred.
I'm being honest.
Let me know if you could predict it. Let me know what you thought.
All right. I mean, I'm already cool with Dead Tone. I mean, you got me with what the premise was. You know, I'm a premise guy. So,
and I've seen I Do, I Did. I've seen that, and in a way, I kind of, you know, got to a point in the movie where you could be like, okay, this may happen or that may happen, you know, but, you know, nothing to you, but it's just kind of like you just kind of, you can kind of figure it out somewhat.
So did you figure out the ending?
Bad. Yeah.
You did?
Well,
I don't want to give it away for the audience, but I wanted, like, you did? You figured it out?
Don't give it away.
Towards the end, I kind of figured it out, but, yeah, but that's how I am, though. I'm, you know, analytically, I can do that. I can, like, you know, I can watch a movie and just be like, you know, just start going through scenarios in my head, like, okay, this might happen, that might happen. So, but
so
I'm, like you said, we're not going to give it away,
like,
for anybody.
Yeah,
because
I want to know. I'm like, you knew who was going to be on my lap?
One, but not
yeah.
two.
Okay.
You know what I mean by that? One, but not two?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I know what you mean.
I didn't know about two, but I knew about
one. Look, Black Steel, stop that shit.
Okay.
Well, no, I was asking because anybody who saw the movie, they know exactly what he's talking about.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it. And I want to see it, and I don't want you throwing out no hints, because then I get to a point and I'm like, oh, now I gotta choke you.
You're
I don't
want
to do that. I love you.
Okay, well, let's keep it moving. Okay, Sherry. So what's in the future for Sherry Johnson? What's coming up next?
I signed a 7-book deal, and so you will definitely be seeing, you know, a lot more books written by me. There is a pretty important announcement that will be made tonight that I can't tell you about until the press releases go out, but it's a shock to me and a big honor that I even get to be involved in this national campaign that's launching. I'm working on a TV show, Antoine Tanner, who is, like, one of my best friends in the world, and we've done all the movies together. He has written this TV show that is awesome. He's asked me to come on and be one of his producers, so I jumped on board with that. And the past 2 years, I've done 8 films, so there'll be 8 films released between, you know, last month there was one that came out. It was called Killer Weekend with me and Eric Roberts, and between now and 2013, there'll be some films released produced by Sherry Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be checking you out, and I will give you my God's honest critique. Now, you have the book out. You got any book signings coming up so that me and the other stalkers can know where to catch up to you?
Absolutely. Kathy Scott and I, that's the lady who wrote the book with me, she's also, she took on the housewife role of the book. I mean, she's not a housewife, but that's the part that she wrote. We will be at Smiley's Bookstores in Carson, California. I believe it's September 25th, and we are coming to San Diego. We're coming to San Diego October 23rd. I'm not sure of the day of the book signing, but there will be some events going down with Sherry Johnson and Kathy Scott all up in Dago.
Can we get some love?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Of course. Hopefully by then you guys will read snippets of the book and you will watch my movies, and then you'll have me back on the show again, and, you know, I can get Kathy on here as well, and you can really pick our brains about the book because, like I said, Around the World Twice is loosely based off of our own lives and our friendship.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, just, you know, as a potential stalker, it gives me more information to go off.
Ooh, so much information, too. I talk about three men in there who I dated. One is an athlete, another one's an actor, and another one's a music producer. Maybe you can even get me to name names. Who knows?
All right.
Hey, what? I ordered the book. My book is on back order, so I'm just waiting for it to come in. Once it comes in, you know, I'm going to sit down and read it, and then, yeah, we will have you back on the show, and, you know, we'll talk about the book.
Thank you so much. Where's it on back order at?
I went to Amazon. Amazon.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, that must mean we're doing good.
Yep, that's it.
All right,
that's
but
great.
See, now for the rest of us, you know, if we got that Jones, I'm looking because I'm one of them people that I talk about it. I'm going to do it now.
Go for it. You know, you can always go to a Barnes & Noble or a Borders Books, and if it's not on shelves, it's like records. You have to request them, and once you ask them to order it, they will.
Oh, I know this. They're mm-hmm. bound to take your money.
Oh, always. They're not going to let it go.
Yeah. All right, so where can we catch you on the web?
You can all. I'm a Twitteraholic, so I would say try Twitter at Cherie, Cherie Johnson 75. I'm also on Facebook, and that's Cherie Johnson 75. And please don't forget the 75. Somebody on the show was trying to find me and was writing a fan page, but I'm not going to say their names. But that's not me. I don't know who's controlling fan pages on Facebook. They won't take them down, but I've asked them to. So if that 75 is not behind my name, you're not going to find me.
You know, I wanted to talk about that. I always wonder, what the hell is up with people who pretend to be other folks? What is that? Yeah, you have that a lot.
Man, I don't even know. You know, I didn't even have a Facebook. I got a Facebook because there was somebody pretending to be me. I got a Twitter because there was somebody pretending to be me. And I guess they were having conversations with folks like they were really me.
Yeah.
And going back to I still have my MySpace, and that's why I got my MySpace, because somebody else had, you know, the Cherie Johnson, and they had all these Punky Brewster pictures up and stuff. And I was like, hold up. This is talking about Punky Brewster and me being with Waldo. Let these folks know that I'm 34 years old. I don't even look like that no more.
Yeah, I'm all grown up now.
I just wonder about people like that. What the hell is wrong with them?
They're crazy.
Yeah, past crazy. I guess you have your unique online stalkers.
Yo, I'm not going to bust a person out that just text messaged me that's on this show right now. But they just text messaged me. I didn't like the fan page. I just saw it laugh out loud. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Hey, well,
what kind of guests about listening to your show?
Yeah. Okay.
So, we need to put them fans on blast.
That's horrible.
Hey, you know, we got you back.
Thank you.
And I want to say this, I mean, because I'm more impressed with what you do in your regular life than all the accomplishments. I mean, you have a lot of accomplishments as far as acting, producing, and shows, whatnot. I mean, you got OG status. Plus, you're not a crackhead, no porn tape out there allegedly. And it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. I mean, we talk about all these, you know, so-called actresses, if you want to call them that, just because they don't wear drawers in their miniskirt.
I couldn't really be a crackhead. I used to be the national chairperson for Just Say No to Drugs and Alcohol in the 80s. It was me and Soleil Moonfry who were actually responsible for getting Nancy Reagan involved in the campaign. So that would kind of be like, you know, really hypocritical.
Well, that was hypocritical having her involved, being that her husband was the biggest drug dealer. Well,
and she was a drunk. and she was a drunk.
Right. They was bringing the shit in and just say no to everybody else's drugs, say yes to ours.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't know that then. I was a kid. You know, I gave up 6 years of my life.
It comes out a little bit later on, you know. Obviously, the Iran-Contra Oliver North is a hero. He got his own radio show and rich. I'm like, how come the black drug dealers don't get that?
It's crazy. It's like I gave up 6 years of my life to help stop the war on drugs and come to find out the government were the ones, you know, putting crack in the inner cities.
Yeah, kind of funny how that goes.
But, hey, you know what? I don't regret it, and I'm thankful for it, because if I touched one person's life or I made one person think about not smoking that shit, then I did something right.
Right. I mean, that's all that counts. And that's why I wanted to commend you as a Hollywood luminary, somebody who's doing something positive. And, of course, nobody wants to commend you or talk to you about it. You need more than the end of ACT award. Fuck that.
Ah, thanks, Bobo. you know, I'm not Hollywood. I'm more like Holly from the hood.
Right. Sorry,
not to have to go back and live.
Right.
I go back and visit, but I don't want to have to go back and live no more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that living there is, you know, anybody who's like, yeah, for the hood, I mean, you know, no.
But I'm not like, you know, I don't think I'm that, you know, starlet. I don't go to all the film festivals. You won't catch me at all the Hollywood parties. You know, you won't catch me hanging out with the in crowd. That's not my thing. It's my job. So if you see me at a premiere, it's something that Antoine did, or, you know, Shar Jackson is in, or I'm in, you know, then I'll go. But besides from, like, supporting the homie or something like that, I'm cool.
Well, you know, we want to support you because...
Thank you.
Well, you the homie, and like I said, you do positive things and want to support that, and I want to talk about that. I want all the listeners to know Cherry Johnson, the real Cherry Johnson, 75, is the real deal. She does good works.
Thank you.
Yeah, just, you know, like you touched on in the beginning, a lot of people don't, you know, they didn't see you in the media, you know, out there in the bars falling over, you know, on TMZ and stuff like that, you know, but you were giving back to your community. You know, you were helping out people who otherwise wouldn't have got that help any other way. And, like,
oh,
you know, media,
can I tell you about that, though?
Yes, ma'am.
There's reasons why. Okay, TMZ and paparazzi are paid, right? That's a business.
Right.
I don't pay a publicist $5,000 a month because I want to be famous and I want to be on the front of all those magazines. That's not a coincidence. When you see people who are being photographed on Robertson Boulevard, everybody knows Robertson Boulevard is full of paparazzi. So when you go there, you're going there to be seen. There are certain restaurants that you can go to that are going there to be seen. People call. I have friends who are in the business who will call their publicist or manager and be like, oh, I'm out to dinner with, you know, somebody else famous. Oh, yeah, okay, we're at this restaurant. And then all of a sudden when they come out, paparazzi's there. There's certain, you're not going to find me there. I don't want to be famous. If I know there's going to be people there, I'm going somewhere else. It's
yeah,
a business. That stuff is not real. It's
right,
not real.
I mean,
it's entertainment.
That part, and I mean, we know they follow certain people around and they try to create stories, but somehow I'm thinking they're not going to follow you around.
You know what? TMZ has caught me one time, and I don't think I can ply. You know, I think they like when they can shock you or they can say rude stuff to you and you're going to give them, you know, what they want or some kind of reaction.
I would piss on paparazzi.
I will stick up my middle finger on paparazzi and be like, eh, fuck you, how you doing? Take the picture.
I would hire a bunch of film students to take pictures of the paparazzi. While they're taking pictures of me, I got people taking pictures of them. You know, in your face.
I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. They've gotten me. They've taken some pictures of me, and I've been on Celebrities Uncensored and TMZ. But it doesn't happen a lot. And sometimes if you just stop and you take the picture that they want, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah. But
they will. They'll leave you alone.
You know, I don't care too much for those shows where there's following folks around and looking for the dirt and the bad and everybody. You know, I really don't understand it. You know, it's like, oh, a celebrity got in trouble. they were drunk. I'm like, so, and?
Well, I'm not going to go out in public and get sloppy drunk and fight people. I might fight somebody, but it's because I'm sober. It's not because I'm drunk.
Right.
You know, and people also don't realize that we're antagonized. You know, because people have seen you on TV your whole life, they think they can say anything they want to you. I understand why Gary Coleman hit that lady.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I wouldn't have done it. Now, I'd slap her silly.
Well, you know what? I saw something in Tom Cruise where this guy threw some water in his face. And Tom Cruise jumped up and was like, why'd you do that? And you could see that he wanted to knock the shit out of him. But he didn't want to get sued. And I was sitting up there thinking, like, I don't understand people who think that it's cool to do that. You know, you don't care about somebody's politics. Because, you know, he get a lot of flack because he's a Scientologist and whatnot. And I'm like, do you like his movies or not?
But that's, like, nobody's business. You know, I don't care if he worships a tree. That doesn't mean that you can cross the lines and touch people or, you know, take pictures. I feel so bad for their daughter. She's a gorgeous little girl who's not allowed to be a little kid because she's always got a camera thrown in her face.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's not okay.
Well, and, you know, and that goes back to the situation why Michael Jackson hit his kids because, you know, he was one of the biggest pop stars in the world. And everywhere he went, there was a camera in his face. And, you know, people were like, oh, he's treating those kids and, you know, he's keeping, you know, they're sheltered and stuff like that. But now you understand why, you know?
No, I totally get it. And I want to know, what is wrong with people? Why do you want to see someone's child? Is
right.
your life that miserable? Are you that bored? And if somebody did that to your child, how would you feel?
No, it's basically the same syndrome of the people who are pretending to be you. Because they want to be you, they're hating on you, they're jealous of you and your fame, instead of trying to create their own fame, being comfortable in their own goddamn skin, they want to be in yours.
You know, a couple years ago, we got evacuated from my house because it was a fire. The mountain behind my house was burning, and it's like directly behind my house. When I walked outside, I had my dog, I had a pit bull at the time, and I was trying to move my cars. Because I had 4 cars in the driveway, and it was only me, and my mother was on her way to help me. When I walked outside, there was a news crew in my yard, and they said, oh, it's the girl from Punky Brewster. How do you feel that your house might burn? Now, mind you, you already know me. You know what I'm saying? And my hair's not combed. I'm looking ghetto. I'm trying to get my photo albums and that kind of stuff and put, you know, the deed to the house and the pink slips of the car. I'm trying to get that stuff in cars and move these cars around the corner. And I looked at the dude, and I said, how the fuck would you feel if your house was about to burn down? And I kept walking. Well, they couldn't air that on TV, could they?
They definitely couldn't, and they didn't.
No, they didn't.
I just want to say this. I want to thank you, Cherry, for coming on the show, and definitely want to have you back. We definitely need to talk about your film, and obviously we want to talk about your event and when you're coming to San Diego.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I won't cuss so much next time I come on. And you guys, please check out my book, Around the World Twice, by Cherry Johnson and Kathy Scott. It's available everywhere books are sold and also on Amazon.com.
I'm there.
Thank you.
And I'm waiting for it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. We shall be in contact.
Cool. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Cherry Johnson. Great lady. Y'all should check out her book. It sounds like it's good. And check out her movies, Dead Tone, Killer Weekend, I Do, I Did. Just check for her because she's doing big things independently. She's not waiting on somebody to knock on her door. She's knocking the goddamn doors open like you're supposed to. Take notice. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank Ms. Johnson once again for coming on the show. I want to thank my man Black Steel. Thank you, Black Steel.
Hey, Dick Hugger, thanks for having me, as always.
I still love you, man.
Yeah, we need to talk about that little situation. We need to clear the air about that. so, in contact.
All right, man. Anyway, thank you all. And once again, I want to thank you, the listener. I'm only as good as the people who listen to me because I can talk to myself all day, every day. I do that, but y'all don't see it or hear it, thankfully for y'all, I think. And on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, it's Smooth Drama. We out.
Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama.